He's the Speakin' Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. I hope you're ready for this exciting conclusion and this potent and relevant message, because here we go.
And let's take a look further as that goes. In this case, with Lois, the effect was this young man put his trust in the Lord, not just in practices of religion from being a Jew, but as a believer in the Messiah, in the Christ. And that is so huge because, as I'm going to unpack in a minute, that determines this child's eternal soul. What does that mean? Let's take a deeper look at this. And lucky for you all, my notes today are only 2 pages. All right, number 2, the legacy of a believing mother. The legacy of a believing mother. And we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where it says this, "I have been reminded," Paul writes, "of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded now lives in you also." 3 generations of holiness led to being mentioned in 3 times in the scripture, 2 epistles and a place in the book of Acts. This legacy of a believing mother, which led to a believing daughter, which led to a believing son, who ended up being a pastor in Ephesus and had 2 letters written with his name on it. Now, can you imagine if these ladies were coming to one of our church picnics and the discussion these ladies might have with other women? You know, my son Timothy, his name's in the Bible, 2 letters with his name at the top, one of the leading founding pastors of a church in Ephesus. You remember him? Remember him? Could you imagine that? Well, how would you ladies deal with those women? So, oh, that's just great. Here comes Lois again. And their grandmother. Could you imagine that? That would be so cool. Wouldn't that be cool bragging rights for any mom in this room? That's cool. That is a legacy. Very simple. So, we got the legacy, we've got the influence, and now the education and sacrifice. The education and sacrifice of a believing mother in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12 through 15, says this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from being bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you," as Paul writes to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." First, I want to point out education from a believing mother. Teach them young. I do have a note here that I mentioned there. Ken Ham wrote a book called Already Gone. And he just wrote out another book called Already Compromised or something like that. But Already Gone is talking about the church kids. And there's this huge exodus of the church from middle school up where kids, even though they're coming to church and as teenagers are coming to church, their hearts are already gone. Their minds are already gone. Part of the reason is, and they said that statistically, that if a kid went to Sunday school, they were more likely to not believe and leave the church than the kids who didn't go to Sunday school. And part of the reason for that is because at Sunday school, they were taught Bible stories. And then they go to school, and they are taught history, science, and facts. Then they come back to church on Sunday morning, and are taught another Bible story. Now, and that's exactly Ken Ham's big push on this, is that why is this history, facts, and important? And over here, this is a story that if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. It doesn't matter. And it's this ambiguity, and it's really, it's a story. And we're looking for the morals of the story, right? But the reality is, what's something called, and I'm having this debate with this this Irish dude on Twitter who believes in all these contradictions of the scripture. But the bottom line is he doesn't get the scriptures. And there's something in his mind that when I mentioned to him, I said, dude, this is a historical narrative. And that's the point I'm getting at. It's not a story. It's a historical narrative, which means it's history that the Lord gave us in a narrative or a story form. But it is history. It is fact, just the way the scripture wrote it. And if we don't teach the scripture as their facts, then we lose our children to these stories of happy morals, and then they go to school where they're given the truth, the facts. You can get some morals there, but you get the truth here. No, that's backwards. Because then they're handed evolution like it's a fact, and evolution is the big fluffiest myth on the planet with no science to back it up. And then we have this rock solid scripture, and 6 literal days God created everything, and the real question is what took him so long, and we have trouble believing the science that backs it up? This is so unbalanced. It's so crucial to educate our children on the facts of the Bible, the facts of the Bible. And Lois and Eunice did it. Their child, Timothy, knew the Old Testament, the Bible. So when Christ came along, he was wise unto salvation. They saved that young man from going to hell. Understanding the scripture saves our children from diving into hell. Does that have some importance or relevance in what is going on in our lives? That is so important. How could anything be more important? Education, getting a driver's license. What do you think could be more important than that? That is why in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Whoa, moms and dads, do we have a serious calling on our hands? And moms, that is so huge. And, I struggle with the little kids trying to teach Javin. I'm ready to have a big discussion, but trying to teach Javin, hey, buddy, you understand the ramifications of sanctification? That ain't working. Mommies know how to get some of that simple truth right in there right at the start. Education is so important. Biblical, solid, historical, factual education is so important, especially unto salvation. And finally, the sacrifice. There is no doubt. Yesterday is a perfect illustration. So, at the end of the day, I let the kids outside, and they're running around outside. They're freaking out. And Javin's running up the lawn, and he goes, falls right on his face. And I'm standing there, and he looks up. He's a little dazed, and he looks at me. And I'm like, you all right? And he goes, but I fell. That's what he said. But I fell. You all right? Yep. And he got up and pshoom, off he goes again. He was looking for a cue, and you all know this. He was looking for the cue. Should I be crying? That's what he was looking. Did I, am I hurt? He was looking to me to decide whether or not he was hurt. And I'm like, meh. As a dad, I would have been proud of him if he was hurt or if he wasn't hurt. The fact that he's running around being nuts, that's what he's supposed to do. And I'm proud of him. But moms, on the other hand, they have this acute empathy. They have this incredible power that whatever the child feels, they feel. Almost magnified. They might stub the toe and go, ow! Child stubs the toe, and it's like, oh, my child! And there's this, anyway, I don't want to go in deep because my wife's right here, and I'll get in trouble. But this incredible empathy. So for a mother to give their child to the Lord and say, there's nothing more important, Father, than that this child belongs to you, and commit their child to the Lord, in what may happen is huge. And is the extreme sacrifice has got to be a heart-wrenching sacrifice. But who better could you trust your child to than God? Certainly not man, certainly not the schools, certainly not the government, but God. Because it says in 2 Timothy 3:12, and this is why I bring it up, in fact, everyone who wants to live a God